Hi everyone, welcome to this new episode of the Players Lounge, the tennis podcast that focuses on the mental aspect of the game. My name is Jennifer Megan. I am a former professional tennis player, and I launched this podcast because I wanted to create a space in which tennis players could find tools and solutions in order to improve their mental game. But this podcast is not only for tennis players, it is also for parents and coaches whose ambition is to help their children and players to reach their full potential. If you are a regular listener of the Players Lounge, thank you so much for your support. If you are new to the podcast, welcome. And at the end of the episode, I would really appreciate if you could share it with a friend or someone close to you. And I would also really appreciate if you could leave a comment or 5 stars on Apple Podcast or Spotify. It will really help me to grow the visibility of the podcast and increase and grow the Players Lounge community. Okay, Iga Świątek absolutely destroyed everyone on her way to winning a second Grand Slam title. No offense to anyone, but let's face the fact. She delivered over the past 2 weeks an incredible performance, and I really want to emphasize on that because usually on clay, such dominance only happens on the men's side, and if your name is Rafa Nadal. And I also want to congratulate her because we know how difficult it is to be the ultra favorite. I mean, in any Grand Slam, but especially at the French Open, it always there's always surprises. And we've seen that very, very good player, extraordinary players such as Ange Jabeur or Stefanos Tsitsipas, who also were part of the favorite, were not able to live up to the expectation. That's why it is so incredible what she did, and that's why today's episode is really dedicated to her and how to win when you are the favorite. Let's get right into it. First of all, what I like about Iga Świątek is that she's a player who was among the first one to openly speak about having a mental trainer coming with her during tournaments, and it was really something new at the time. I know that now talking about mental health is kind of trendy and that everyone talks about it. But a couple of years back, even 2 years ago, it was still a bit taboo to talk about this. And I like how open and transparent she is. And the first point I want to raise and I want to discuss when it comes to how to win when you are the favorite is that she accepts stress. She accepts the pressure. And what I mean by that is that, especially in the tennis world, we have the tendency to kind of be in denial or, you know, feeling like, no, I'm not stressed. I don't feel pressure. I'm tough. You know, all this kind of bravado that goes on. And it actually is not productive. It doesn't help. Because at the end of the day, when, excuse my French, shit hits the fan, and when you are in crunch time, when it's tough, when it's really high pressure situation, if you are not used to deal with pressure, if you are not used to handle it, if you have not worked on it, it's going to get the best of you. And what I like about Iga Świątek is that she's very open about it. She says, yes, of course there is pressure. Of course there are moments where I tell myself that I need to be calm and to relax, but it's not that easy. And just that simple word makes it, to me, it's really like it makes a big difference because she's able, the moment you accept that it's part of the game, that it's part of your routine, that it's part of your life as a tennis player, then you are able to work on it. Then you are able to take actions toward it. But if you stay in that denial phase where you feel like, oh, if I say that I feel a bit stressed, it's going to be bad. People are going to yell at me, which leads me to something else. Actually, the reason why she's so comfortable and she's able to do that is because she said that, okay, when I feel pressure, when I feel tense, I discuss it. I don't keep it inside and I discuss it directly with my team. And again, I've been talking on this podcast so many times on about the importance of having a great team and a great support around you, a great support system, because to me, I mean, it does everything. It's the basic of everything. I was watching the French and I at some point I was counting how many people were in Rafa Nadal's box, and it was ridiculous. I think like there was like more than 12 people. Then there's not always 12 people, but at least, and it's something that I've noticed when I was on tour from especially the Spanish players. They always have, they always quite a lot. And I think it's a great thing because it's so lonely on the tour. It is so difficult to just be by yourself or just be by yourself with your coach. So if you can afford it, you must have a bigger team. But again, Iga Świątek's mental trainer, Daria Abramovic, was saying is that everyone in the team as a specific role, and we all communicate with each other and we try to help and we have the same type of communication. And I think that's the crucial point, because sometimes when you have too many people involved, egos get in the way and then it becomes a mess. So yes, of course, you need to have team, you have people, but you have to make sure that the team is really aligned with your goals and aligned with your mentality. You guys need to be extremely compatible, otherwise it won't work. And I really emphasize on that. Compatibility is so important in tennis. That makes everything. You bring one person and it's like oil and water. If it doesn't, the mix doesn't take, then it's just not, it's not gonna fly. That's why I think she's first of all able to win, because she's able to accept the pressure, she's able to talk about it, she's able to take actions towards it. That leads me to my second point. I was talking about Rafa Nadal, and I wanna keep making the parallel between the two, because one of the things that we know about Iga Świątek is that she's a huge fan of Rafa Nadal. She talked many times about how much he inspired her, how she wants to emulate his intensity on the court, and that's the point I want to talk about: intensity. How can you keep your such high intensity on the tennis court? And that's something I've noticed when I watch Iga Świątek, is that she literally suffocates her opponents. It is so impressive to watch, because you can tell that those girls, when they are playing against her, there's no way they are going to win. When she's on roll, of course, yeah, of course she can lose one day. But when she's on roll, the type of intensity that she puts on the player, not so many people can actually handle it. It was so evident in the final against Coco Gauff. And Coco Gauff is not nobody. Like she's an incredible player, she's an incredible champ. But it was in the final, with the pressure and everything, Iga Świątek started the match really good right away, and that's what she does very well. Same with Nadal, they are really good at it. So how do they do that? That's where mental coach Daria Abramovic comes into play. I was actually reading an interview, and she was explaining how they are very specific about working on intensity. So basically what they do is that before practices, they set up goals and then they can implement on the court during practice. And I think this is what also makes Iga Świątek stand out, is that usually people who work with a mental coach, they do it after practice or after the match. So basically during practice, the coach is on the court with the player, and then the player goes to the mental coach and they have a conversation, and then they do visualization. From what I've read and from what I understood, they do this right on the court, which actually enables to be even more precise and to be closer to reality. And that's very important, something that you can actually do. Of course, it's better if you have someone with you, but training yourself and having mental goals before each practice is something that really changes everything. I remember, and I think I spoke about it on the podcast before, but when I was training in the US in university, our coach was asking us to send in goals every single day in the evening, so for the next day. And that was something that was quite good because it was actually making me think about practice before it happened, project myself on what I wanted to work on. So then when I was coming to practice the next day, I was already in the mindset, and I thought that was like a very good habit to have. It was a very good strategy from him, and it's something that I recommend to everyone. And also she mentioned cognitive training. So what is cognitive training? Basically, it's like improving your mental capacity by using tactics. And I think I will do an episode a specific episode on that. So she said that she does exercise that allow Iga Świątek to work on her willpower. Attention and decision, problem solving, and that's why Iga Świątek does a lot of Lego and also puzzles. And I think like these are very simple things, you know, from an external point, you can think that okay, that's nothing, but actually it is something that is quite crucial to do, and that really makes the difference. So high intensity is definitely one of the reasons why she can win as a favorite and to really impose on the rhythm on an opponent. That leads me to point number three, the strategies that Iga Świątek uses when she's under pressure. Like I said before, she was, you know, on the roll with the winning streak. Everyone was talking about it. Every time that she was winning a match, a journalist came to say, oh, okay, you beat Justinena. Okay, Serena is on the line. You know, like people, you know how they are. They like to talk about those kind of stuff. And I think that, again, I'm a bit fangirling today because I think that really what she did was absolutely stunning and absolutely incredible, because she's so young and then she already is very mature for her age, and then she knows already how to handle herself quite well, when we've seen over the past couple of years how it is difficult to stay on top and to be able to do things. So what she does when she's under pressure, and that's again something that you can apply to your own training, is that she relies on a strength. What do I mean by that? I've talked a lot about the having strong, strong tactics that you can go to when you are in a high pressure situation. What do I mean by high pressure situation? Let me ask you a question. When you are, it's 4-all in the third, and you're playing breakpoint to win the game or either to save a breakpoint, what do you do? What is your go-to tactics? And that's what I mean by that, your strong tactics, your biggest strength. And the strong tactics are the tactics that you can use without thinking, that you know that 80%, 85%, let's be ambitious, can work in your advantage, that when you do that, you feel strong, you feel comfortable, and you're not going to second guess yourself. This is what I mean by that. And Iga Świątek said that, okay, when I feel pressure, this is what I do. I try to perhaps rely more on my physical strength, or put more high intensity. Again, we've just seen previously that she's been training that, so she knows how to go and dig that resource when needed. Or I use my tennis, and she has so many like strong tactics that she uses when she's losing. And for instance, you know, coming forward, you know, like taking the ball earlier and then coming with a swing volley is something that she likes to do. But there are so many things. She's really just so great on those important points. then my question to you is, what is your strong tactic? What is the tactic that you go to when you feel under pressure? That's what you want to work on during practice. And you want to change things up. You want to be able to once in a while say, okay, this is what I'm going to work on. I'm going to work on I'm going to put high physical intensity today. So that's your main focus. And then the next day you're going to say, okay, I want to play points. And then so I can work on those strong tactics while I'm under pressure. And this is how you get better and better. And of course it takes time, but that's if you start with this mindset right now, you will see the improvement in a couple of months. And then that's how you get better and better and better. So that's something that I really like about her. Another tactic that she uses, and that's what mental coach was saying, is that they put together some routines that she can use during the changeovers. And one of them is to breathe, and to breathe in exercises that she has. We see sometimes that she closes her eyes, and it's a way to just like be centered again and to switch things and say, okay, what do I need to do? What am I doing? What am I doing right? What am I doing well? And that, what am I doing wrong? And then I can come up with a tactic, and then she moves on and she goes back. And these are something that you can of course use. What I recommend is to sit on your chair, to really take a deep breath. And while you're taking a deep breath, you can let out all the frustration if you are losing, and it's really doing it to do it until, and maybe you will need more than one breath, but that's something that actually was working for me and that works for people, and that you might want to try out. And another thing that works for Iga Świątek, and that Daria Abramović was speaking about, was that sometimes before a point, so that's not doing a changeover, that's when you're really in the heat of the battle, just giving back to the court, turning your back on the court, and again, taking a deep breath. So it has to be brief, because you don't have 20 minutes or you don't have much time. And then again, so then you can regroup and say, okay, here we go. This is now what I need to do. And then you're ready to go. So these are like small things, but I really believe that relying on your force is huge. It's something that we never do. We always work on our weaknesses. We always talk about what we don't do, we don't do well. But I think that one of the key things that champions are doing is that they're working on their strength every single day. So it becomes second nature. My last point, I want to talk about external things. And what I mean by that, I'll explain and you will understand better. At the moment, what we observe online is what I call the Emma Raducanu's bashing. And there's a lot of negative comment about her, how she's horrible and she's not focused on tennis, that since she's won the US Open, she's just she became a model, and then she should stop all the commercial things and blah blah blah. I mean, you've read it, and maybe you've said it yourself. So let me set the record straight. I really think that if you think that tennis players can just decide not to do press appearances, photo shoots with their sponsors, and etc. You're out of your mind, and literally you don't understand anything of the business of tennis. And I know some people say, no, but we're not saying that she shouldn't do anything at all, but that she's doing too much. Okay, so again, I think that what's important to understand is that doing endorsements and all those things is not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing because, first of all, it helps to promote tennis. It helps to get the money for tennis. So it is a good thing. Now, what people are forgetting to do is to say, okay, what's the solution? And again, when we speak about Iga Świątek, what I like about her is that with a team, they understood that it's part of the thing, it's part of being a tennis player. So they didn't treat that as, they didn't treat sponsors, they didn't treat media appearances as enemies. Instead, they integrated it in the in the routine of being a tennis player. So what Darya Abramovich was explaining is that, okay, as soon as Iga Świątek won the French Open the first time back in 2020, they decided to really understand the whole business of tennis. So what's personal branding? What is media training, etc., etc.? And the reason why they did that is because she was saying that if the athlete understands what's going on, if the athlete is able to understand this part of his job or her job, actually make things easier. And they know that it's just one part, so they don't get distracted anymore, and then they can actually focus more on tennis. And I think that a lot of players, and that's probably what's happening with Emma Raducanu, have a different approach. And of course, when you start, and I would like to see all these people who are like talking about Emma Raducanu, like how they will actually handle it. When, you know, you are basically just you tennis player, and then you win something, and then all of a sudden everybody, you know, sends you the endorsement, invite you in the coolest place. Of course, you would like to do it. I know I would be like game, and I would like to do it. But the question is that, okay, how do we treat that and what do we do with this? And I think this is where sometimes some players get lost into, and what the Iga Świątek team didn't allow. They made sure that, okay, she understands the business. She knows that, okay, it's part of it. She does it. And then once it's done, it's done. It's go back to business. And that avoids distraction. I think that trying to keep things away doesn't work, but understanding how you can deal with it and how you can actually find some kind of balance is the best strategy. And that's what she was explaining. And then she said that, of course, Iga Świątek is a very mature person that is always able to see the benefits of things and to be very open-minded to things, even when she's in a bad position. So that's also perhaps why it's working so well. But definitely, like, if you're an upcoming tennis player and then you know, like, things start happening, like sponsors, it's important that you talk with your team how to deal with it. It is important that you say, okay, it's part of it, and this is how much time we're going to allocate to it, no more. So then there's no frustration and there's no distraction. Does it require discipline? Absolutely. But then again, it's what do you want? Do you want to be a tennis player or you want to be something else? And either way is fine. You just have to be clear with it. I'm not here to judge. I'm just here to say, okay, if you want to be the best version of yourself on the tennis court and outside, that's, I think, the best road. She also talks about, like, in order to be able to deal with those external things, being able to recover and to know when to not be, how can I say that, to not be in the intensity, not to be to relax, is also important. Again, that's why it comes back to the importance of the team, especially in Grand Slams. It's 2 weeks. 2 weeks is a long time, and 2 weeks is plenty of time for external elements to come and to destroy your peace. We know how it is in a tennis environment when all you need is just a locker rooms conversation. Someone say, "Oh, you play this person? Oh, yes, you know," and all the crap that's going on. I mean, any tennis players knows what I'm talking about, and for those who doesn't, it's something that is very current where people just talk and then it messes up with your game and messes up with your mind and then you feel distracted. So being able to, and again, one thing that I recommend is that if this happens, because not everyone can have an entourage, but you should discuss that with the person with you, whether it's your parent, whether it's your coach. You should say, okay, this is something that is bothering me. And again, remember, when you accept that something is bothering you, you are actually empower yourself to take actions towards it. So that was my last point. And that's it, guys. That's it for today. I really wanted to spend time to speak about Iga Świątek's performance. Actually, I won't say tennis performance, but also mental performance. 35 win. winning streak is still alive. I can't wait to see what's going to happen at Wimbledon. But I think that this is great for tennis to have a bit of stability and to have a true powerhouse at the helm of the WTA. If you liked this episode, don't forget to share with a friend or family member. Anyway, anyone who you think might need it. And until next time, take care of yourself and bye!